Hey, good morning. We're so glad you're here. And have y'all been blessed by the worship this morning? Yes. Thank you, Pastor Tom. Thank you, worship team. And we're so glad you're here. And thank you for being here. I see a lot of us wearing our colors. You know, maybe it's your favorite high school team. I see some high school teams. And I see some, you know, college team. I'm wearing the Michigan. We didn't do so well last night. But, hey, you know, still bleed. You know, maize and blue, that's okay. And so some of you are Michigan State colors, you know, hey, we love you. But anyway, we got some NFL teams. Some of you wearing Lions. Saw a couple of Packers. People wearing Packers colors. I don't know what's up with that. But anyway, we got it. Hey, in the first service, which was really cool, we had one guy, he's actually an umpire, you know, for local, you know, baseball teams, you know, and one of the leagues. And so he showed up in his ref, you know, umpire shirt. And so, you know, there he is. He showed up there. And so, Jim, make sure you don't throw any flags on the play here, all right? So none of that. And so he's making sure we all have order in the house, okay? But we're glad that you're here. Thank you for being here this morning. And if you're a guest with us as you came in, you should have received a program. And inside that program is a connection card. And we'd love for you to fill that card out. And then at the end of the service, you can drop it in one of the offering boxes throughout the building. Or you can give it to me after the service. I'd love to meet you, say hey, give you a free gift, and thank you for being here today. And so thank you for being here this morning. If you're watching online, we're glad that you're able to watch wherever you might be this morning. And today, you're helping me preach the message by wearing your favorite shirt, your favorite colors. You're helping me preach the message because today is not just about being a fan. Today is about being committed. It's about showing up. It's about being more than a fan. And that's the title of the message today, More Than a Fan. Now, we live here in Detroit, you know, we live in a sport town. I mean, we not only just watch the game, we can feel them, right? We can feel them. I mean, we're passionate. You know, we got the Tigers. Detroit Tigers playing good baseball right now. And I remember back in 1984, when I was in second grade, and that's the last time the Tigers won the world championship. And I was in second grade, and I was the biggest fan there was in second grade. I knew all the players by name, and I watched all the games. And then when it went into September, you know, we're the hottest team in baseball, and we had those West Coast games on TV. My parents, they would call the school and say, hey, just FYI, my son Scott, he's coming in a little tired. But we let him watch those late night games because he's invested in the Tigers. I mean, he was in there. I remember going to the old Tiger Stadium, you know, and watching games there right there on the corner of Trumbull and Michigan Avenue. And just like stepping back into time. And just being a part of the atmosphere of the Tigers. And it's exciting to see what's happening now. Then, of course, there's the Lions. The Lions, you know, for years we've said this could be the year. And then four games in, it's all disappointment. But we kind of feel it lately, right? We kind of feel the last couple of years, and we've got Coach Dan Campbell. He got the city all believing. There's grit, resilience, there's unity, there's excitement. You see, we're not just fans. We're invested, and when your team starts to click, it's exciting and fun, and you want to be there for it. And so today, we're not just talking about your favorite team, the teams on the field. Today, we're going to be talking about something that's far bigger, something that's far better, and something that's far more eternal. Because the truth is that what you and I are a part of in the church isn't about a season. It's about the kingdom. The kingdom of God. And if you've been drifting, or if you're here and you've been watching from the sidelines, from a distance, maybe this fall is your moment to lean back in, to re-engage, to get back in the game. And how do we do that? How do we get back in the game? Well, we show up. We got to show up with purpose. We got to show up for each other. We've got to show up for what God wants to do in us and for us. And today, I want to look at Hebrews chapter 10. And the author of Hebrews chapter 10, he gives us a real challenge. I call this a locker room moment for the early church. We have a pep talk. And the author of Hebrews is the coach, and he's calling us to draw near. He's calling us to hold on. He's calling us to lift each other up. He's calling us to stay committed, even when the goings get tough in life. And so we look at Hebrews chapter 10 this morning, and I want you to follow along with me in verse number 19. The Bible says, "Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is, his body. And since we have a great priest over the house of God," and so verse 19 and 20 and 21, it's all about, hey, we've been saved through the cross of Jesus Christ and the sacrifice he did for us. And we have a way to God, a way to eternal life through the shed blood of our son, of God's son, Jesus. And because of that, verse number 22, we see the challenge. He says, "Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds." Verse 25, "Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." I hope you felt that coach, you know, the emphasis on that phrase, "let us." We see that phrase, "let us," five different time. It doesn't say "let me." It doesn't say "let you." It says to "let us." You see, our faith, Christianity, is not a solo sport. We're part of a body. We're part of a family, the family of God. We're part of a team. We're on Team Jesus. And the call for us is to show up, not just to sit in the stands, but to step into what God is doing in our lives. And so today, I want you to show you five "let us" plays straight from this passage of scripture in Hebrews 10. Five ways to stop being just a fan and start living like someone who truly is in the game. Five plays that we see here in five instructions, five commands that we see from the writer and the author of Hebrews. Let's start with the first one, if you're taking notes. Number one, the author of Hebrews says, don't miss the huddle. It matters that you're here. Don't miss the huddle. It matters that you're here. Verse number 25, let us not give up on meeting together as some are in the habit of doing. Now, let's just be honest. Life gets busy. Our weekends get packed. You know, we have our priorities. Sometimes they get a little blurred. And it becomes really easy for all of us, for any of us, to slip into fan mode, where we love the idea of church, but we stop showing up for the team. Showing up, it matters. Huddling up, it matters. One of the clearest indicators of your spiritual direction is your pattern of presence. Just being in church week after week, it's a statement of commitment. And the author of Hebrews, he knew this. He was writing to believers who were tempted to drift away. In fact, some had already stopped gathering. Some had already stopped huddling. And we see this happening even today. Church attendance in America is in a very steep decline. According to the Gallup poll, only 31% of U.S. adults say they attend religious services weekly or nearly every week. And that's down from over 50% just 20 years ago. And many people who used to attend faithfully, now they just show up here and there, maybe once a month or once a season, or maybe just Christmas and Easter. Now, for the first time in our nation's history, regular church attendance is no longer the norm, even among Christians. You see, when you stop showing up, you start drifting away from growth. Why? Because you can't microwave spiritual maturity. You can't binge follow Jesus for a quick hot minute or for a short little season and let ride on that. It's consistent commitment. It's forged through this rhythm, through the consistent routine, week after week, choice after choice. If you're taking notes, God honors consistency. He honors consistency all day long. He honors it. He blesses that. One of our greatest inventors in American history is Thomas Edison. We're thankful because we have lots of light today because of him. He invented the light bulb. But what most people forget is how many times he failed trying to get the light bulb invented. He didn't try 10 times. He didn't try 100 times. He tried over 1,000 different times before he finally succeeded in making a light bulb. 1,000 different failures. And one time a reporter asked him how it felt to fail so many times. And I love what he said. He responded to the reporter. He said, "I didn't fail 1,000 times. The light bulb was an invention with 1,000 steps." Isn't that great? You see, that's perseverance. That is consistency. That's what it looks like to keep showing up, even when you don't see the result right away. And the same thing is true spiritually. Now, if you lie around spiritually lazy and just, you know, go to church when you feel like it, you know, just kind of status quo with your Christian walk, with your faith, don't be surprised when your soul starts to feel dry. But if you keep showing up week after week, worship after worship, listen, God will meet you. It may not be with fireworks every time, but you will be fed. You will be encouraged. You'll be convicted. You will be challenged. Every time you choose to show up and to huddle, you're taking another step in the right direction. You're just stacking habit upon habit that leads to transformation. And so don't just be a fan. You want to be more than a fan? Don't miss the huddle. It matters. It matters that you're here. Here's the second command that we see, the second challenge that we see from the author of Hebrews. He says, and number two, that we are to engage fully. Don't just sit and watch. Don't just come to the huddle, but be from a distance. Don't just sit and watch. Be engaged fully. Look at what Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22 says. Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith. Now, there's a lot of gatherings that happens in our lives on a weekly basis. We meet with people over coffee, the book club, the all kinds of stuff. You know, the guys kind of hang out together maybe for breakfast, talk about the football game or talk about the weather, whatever. And there's all kinds of groups, and that's great. But when we huddle here, when we gather here, it what we do here is different, so much different than what all the other groups are doing. What we're doing here is this. We gather, we huddle corporately to draw near to God. We don't come for a show. We don't come to be entertained. We come here to worship. Worship isn't just a few songs to warm up the crowd before the message. Not a filler. It's not for, you know, hey, we got the message, and you know, if we put, you know, some music in there, that'll give people that time to get here. No, the goal is for you to be here before the worship begins. It's not an optional experience. It's a part of what we do. It's our response to the greatness of God. And newsflash, you're not the audience. God is. Our worship band, Pastor Tom and our worship team and the band, they're not performing to you. They're leading us to draw near to the one who deserves it all. He deserves our worship. And Hebrews says, hey, we are to draw near. Let us draw near to him. And that's a call for us to engage, to lean in, to come before God with reverence and confidence because of what Jesus had done for us. When we worship, listen, when we worship, I know sometimes we can just get, you know, just in the habit of hearing the music and we hear the songs, and sometimes they become too familiar that we lose the meaning of what we're trying to do. We're just singing words. We're not even thinking about the words. We're singing the word mindlessly. And my challenge is for you to fully engage and to mindfully sing. When you sing those words, powerful words of worship this morning, they are. Those are prayers. Those are prayers to a holy God. And I find myself as I'm singing, I'm praying on top of the prayers and of the worship song as I go along and say, oh God, help me, fill me with your spirit. Rest on me, Lord. And I'm allowing that to take me to a place of worship and we get to draw near. It hasn't always been that way. Hadn't always been that way. You know, if you were in the Old Testament, and they had the tabernacle, and eventually they built the temple in Jerusalem, they had all these rules. And you couldn't exactly quite draw near to God. You know, if you were a Gentile, a non-Jewish person, you could come to worship, but you were outside the building, like way outside the building. You know, you could be a part of what was happening by your ears only from a distance. And then if you were a Jewish woman, you were a little bit closer. And then if you were a Jewish male, a little bit closer. And then if you were a priest or part of the Levitical family, you were at least inside the inner court. So I have all these people on the outer court, and then you have people on the inside. But even so, there was this place in the middle of all this called the Holy of Holies. That's where the presence of God was, and there was only one person that could go there once a year, and that was the high priest. And then there was a barrier. And so you had all this. And God's presence was behind this thick curtain. It was off limit for just about everybody. But when Jesus died, the curtain, the Bible says, was ripped from the top to the bottom. And when that happened, God was saying, access to me is now granted. No more barriers. We have, hey, listen, when we huddle together, we can draw near the presence of God. Even cool about this, you can draw near to God when you leave this place on your own. In the quiet part of your house, in the quietness of in the park, in your car, in the middle of the hard road, you can draw near to God. I find my closest time with God in the middle of traffic. Lord, please help me. You know, I need you more now than ever. You know, Lord, give me patience. But hey, God, listen, we can draw near to God anywhere, but man, there's a thing here in Hebrews that's talking about, man, when we come together to draw near corporately, to draw near to God, and through Christ, you can come and draw near to him. I love Psalm 122. The psalmist, he said this, I was glad, I rejoiced when they told me, let us go to the house of the Lord. It's not, well, I guess I have to go. It's not, well, you know, I don't feel like going, but maybe if I feel like watching it online, I'll do that later. No. It's with this anticipation, this excitement, this joy to worship. Hey, let me just talk to the parents for just a minute. Moms and dads, can I challenge you this? Never ask your kids if they feel like going to church on Sunday morning. Now, some of them might be more excited about church than you might be. And that's great. But never ask your kids, you want to go to church on Sunday morning? You tell your kids, you say, listen, this is who we are. This is what we do. We get to huddle with other believers. And we get to do this. Listen, your kids are learning from you whether worship is a priority or a preference. And if worship and gathering on Sunday morning is a preference, it's, hey, when I have time for it, hey, when there's nothing else going on in my life, you know, when things are calm, and then we'll go to church. If that's how you treat church on Sunday morning, guess what? Your kids are watching you, and when they grow up, most likely will do that thing. On the flip side, if you make it a priority, most likely your kids, when they grow up, will treat church as a priority. Do you love to worship? Do you walk in with an expectation, God, I want you to do something today. I want to draw near to you. I want to engage fully. I don't want to just go through the motions of worship. Psalm 100, the psalmist says, he shouts for joy to the Lord, all the earth. He worshiped the Lord with gladness. He said, come before him with joyful songs. He said, look at verse 4. He said, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his court with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. And then verse 5 tells us the why. Why we sing, why we praise his name. Why? Because, verse 5, because the Lord, he is good. And his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. It's amazing. We sang a song about that this morning. A firm foundation. He will never fail. He is faithful through all generations. So here's the question. Are you a fan just watching from a distance? Or are you a follower drawing near in worship and surrender? We are called to engage fully. Don't just sit and watch. Here's the third challenge from Hebrews. Number 3, every team needs encouragers. In fact, you be one. I love watching my kids play sports. I got Abigail, she's in 7th grade. She's still trying to figure out what the sport. So far, I think right now it's basketball and cheerleading. And then she was on the team last year, and you know, she's a little unsure of herself, but she's getting into it. And I just told her, hey, you're gonna get better. Just keep working at it. Every year, you're gonna get better. But last year, I mean, I watched you cheerlead. Now, as a dad, you know, he doesn't want me to be seen. He wants me in the far corner of the gym. I just embarrass her. And so she said, Dad, I just need you to be low-key. And I'm like, okay, are you sure? She said, yeah, just be, I just, you know, you make me nervous. I said, well, why, Abby? I don't know, you just make me nervous. Go over there, stand behind a wall or something. And so that's my life right now, and that's okay. Nathan, he's a senior. Nathan's been involved in school sports and, you know, he's in soccer right now, and then he'll roll right into basketball, and then he'll roll right into volleyball. You know, started a few weeks ago, and go all the way through the end of April. You know, we've got home games, we've got away games, and then we're in a Christian school, so sometimes the away games are quite a distance. That Thursday, we had a game 2.5 hours in Carson City. How many of you know where Carson City is? Yeah, one person, okay. It's out there, in the middle of nowhere. I had to look it up. I said, where are we going? It's 2.5 hours. And so that's like the farthest we have to go to, but we went there and in soccer. And so, you know, in soccer, he would tell you, if you ask Nathan, he's in a room somewhere, he would tell you that soccer is not his sport. And it's not his thing. He'll tell you, he'll be honest, he said, I don't really like this, I don't like it, but I'm in it because I got, you know, the small school and the coach was kind of like, hey, I need a one body. Can you be out there? He's athletic, and you're better than nothing. And Nathan's kind of like, okay. That was a couple years ago, and every year it gets a little bit better, you know. And he'll say, hey, you know, Dad, I play soccer because basketball is my thing, and soccer kind of gets me ready for basketball, conditioning and all the running. And I just kind of tolerate the sports. And so a couple weeks ago, he had his first game, and he showed up and had no idea. And the coach said, hey, Nathan, you're one of the captains. And Nathan's like, what? I hate this game, you know? You know, why are you making me captain? He said, you're captain, you know. And so he goes, and he's thinking, you know, there's better players than me that deserve the captain role. So he comes home and he said, Dad, you're not going to believe this. It's so hilarious, but they made me captain. I don't get it. What is the coach thinking? And that's what I told Nathan. I said, Nathan, it's because you have shown on-the-field leadership. You are an encourager. You bring everyone's level of intensity up because you're such an encouraging person. That's what the coach sees in you. And that's why you're captain. He's not picking you captain because of your ability, but because you're an encourager. And that's the challenge here for us. Bible said in verse 25, let us encourage one another. And that one sentence gives us another purpose for showing up. It gives us another purpose for the huddle. We don't just gather here to be encouraged. We gather here to give encouragement. And here's the truth that's so simple but powerful if you're taking note. Your presence here encourages. Your absence discourages. Every time you walk through the doors of our church on Sunday morning, or every time you show up to your life group, every time you show up to the ministry to serve, you're sending a message, hey, you're not alone. Your smile can lift someone's spirit. Your handshake reminds someone that they're being seen. Your hug says, hey, you matter. You belong. To be an encouragement, it requires you to be present. Now look, thank God for live stream. And if you're sick, traveling, you're homebound, we're grateful to stay connected. But let's just be honest. You can't hug someone from 40 miles away. You can't offer a tissue through the Wi-Fi. You can't lock eyes with someone who's barely holding it together unless you're here. So it matters that you're here. You belong here to encourage others. I want you to turn to your neighbor right now, person behind you, in front of you, next to you. I want you to say to them, hey, your presence here encourages me. Go ahead. Your presence encourages me. That's right. Hey, because it does, right? We encourage each other. And every team, every church needs encourager. The church not complete without them. And so today you can be one. Be an encourager. Number four, you gotta run the play. Don't just talk the game. You gotta run the play. Don't just talk the game. Every team has talkers, people who hype, analyze, and debate. But talk doesn't win games. Execution does. And that's why the writer of Hebrews, he said this in verse 24, and let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. That word spur, it's intense. It means to provoke. It means to stir up. It means to push or to nudge someone forward. I think of the image of a rider, a horse rider, gently riding on a horse, using a spur to move that horse in the right direction. He's not hurting it, but to wake it up and to move the horse into action. And that's what we're called to do in church. We're called to challenge each other, to push each other, to put our faith in motion. So let's be honest. There's no shortage of people in churches who talk a good game. They know the Bible, they can quote verses, share devotional. But when it comes to actually loving people, when it comes to actually serving others, when it comes to actually doing good work that God prepared for them, sometimes it's crickets. Nobody wants to show up. They want to talk a good talk, but they don't want to walk it. And Jesus didn't call us to be commentators. He called us to be contributors. And this is where spiritual growth gets real, when you put your faith in action and you serve others. And so let me ask you, are you in the game? Are you serving? Are you running the plays? Or are you just talking the talk? Are you just talking the talk? It's time to get off the bench. Don't just sit back and analyze the game. Don't just sit back and talk about what the church should be doing. Get in the game. Run the place. Number five, here's the fifth challenge that we see from the author of Hebrews. He says, we got to know the clock. The game is almost over. To me, this is the most important play here, the most important challenge. We've got to know the clock. Every athlete knows this. The closer it gets to the final buzzer, the more urgency you play with. You can kind of coast a little bit in the first quarter. You can afford to make a mistake or two in the second quarter. But when it comes down to the wire, you're dialed in. You're focused. You hustle. You lock in. Every second matters. You give everything you've got in that fourth quarter. And that's the picture that we see here in Hebrews chapter 10. Look at verse 23. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. Look at verse 25. And all the more as you see the day approaching. That phrase, the day, isn't talking about just any normal, regular day. If you notice, it's in a capital D, and it's capital D day for a reason. And it's referring to the day of the Lord's return. Jesus, my friend, is coming back. And that moment is getting closer and closer by the second. We don't know the exact time or date, but here's what I do know. We're closer today than we were yesterday. And the clock is ticking. And that's why this fifth challenge isn't casual. It's so urgent. He said, hey, let us hold on to hope. He said, let us meet together faithfully. Let us huddle. Let us encourage each other more and more. Let us spur each other on to do good works. Why? Because the clock is ticking away. The early church, they lived with this kind of urgency. You see, when they gathered together and when they left, they didn't say, hey, see you later. We'll see you tomorrow. We'll see you next week. They didn't say that. In fact, what they said, the early church, as they said goodbye to each other, they would use this one word called Maranatha. They would say Maranatha, and that word Maranatha is an Aramaic word, and it means the Lord is coming. And there was a reminder among the believers that the next time they gathered might not be here on earth, but it might be in heaven. And so the question for you is this. Are you living today with this kind of urgency? I'm talking about a holy focus. If Jesus came back tomorrow, would he find you drifting or devoted? Would he find you distracted or dialed in? Because this life that we're living is not the warm-up. It's the game. And my friend, the clock is running. So we're called to hold on to hope, to stay connected to God's people, to encourage like it matters, because it does. Because the game is almost over. Let's finish strong. Now listen, there's nothing wrong with being a sports fan. Nothing wrong with wearing our colors. Fan wheel the gears. They know the stats. They cheer loud. They ride that emotional roller coaster when the team wins and when the team loses. But let me just be clear. When it comes to the kingdom of God, Jesus didn't come to build a fan base. He came to build a team. People who would follow him completely and fully and give their lives for something bigger than themselves. Be a follower, not a fan. Be more than a fan. What's the difference? A fan, they sit in the stands if you're taking notes. Followers, they step on the field. Fans, they consume. Followers, they contribute. Fans, they cheer. But followers, they commit. The church isn't built by spectators. It's built by men and women who show up, lean in, and live it out. Next Sunday, we're kicking off a brand new message series. Can I challenge you next week to show up? Isn't that what we're talking about today? To show up? Be here. Next Sunday, we're kicking off a new series called Everyday Disciples. And here's the heartbeat behind it. Following Jesus isn't a one day a week kind of a thing. Following Jesus is an everyday calling of our lives. And so for the next 4 weeks, I'm going to break down 4 key roles that every follower of Jesus is called to embrace. Not someday, not when it's convenient, but 4 roles that we're called to embrace every day. Next week, I'm going to talk about the first one, a spirit-led follower. Week 2, I'm going to talk about a generous servant. Week number 3, I'm going to talk about our role as a courageous missionary. And then I'm going to talk about what it means to be a compassionate guide. And you're going to be challenged. You're going to be stretched. And most importantly, you're going to grow. But to do that, you've got to be here. And so as we close, if you've been sitting, it's time to step in. If you've been drifting, time to come home. If you've been a fan, it's time to become a follower. And this fall, I'm going to challenge you to make the move. Show up on a regular basis. Be engaged deeply when you show up. Grow intentionally. Live it out every day. Because Jesus is worthy of more than just our applause. He is worthy of our allegiance. So let's stop cheering from the sidelines. Let's start following Jesus with our whole lives. But friend, let's be more than a fan. Our Heavenly Father, we love you and we thank you for the word that you have given us. The challenge that we see here in Hebrews and how we should live in the last days. The clock is ticking. God, I pray that we live a life with urgency, to huddle together, to encourage one another, to worship and draw near to you, not just go through the motions of doing church. God, to spur and challenge each other to serve and to be in the game. God, help us to live out what it means to be on Team Jesus, to be more than just a fan, but be a follower of you. God, if there's someone here today that don't have a relationship with you, God, I pray that today they will make that decision where they cross the line of faith. And today could be their day of salvation. I pray that they don't walk away from this church this morning without a conversation with perhaps one of our prayer team, one of our staff, maybe someone at the next step table. God, I pray that we will have the courage to ask somebody what it means to be on the team, Team Jesus. God, we thank you for all you're doing. We thank you for next week. We look forward to talking about what it means to be an everyday disciple. In Jesus' name, amen.